Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Okay, we'll be reading four verses. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1 to 4. Let's stand as we read these four verses. I pray that God will help us to understand this passage. And I believe God has something for us today. Okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we finish at verse number 4. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Verse 2. Verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Verse 4 together. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Please be seated. Come to Jesus for cleansing. Okay, this is the title of today's message. Come to Jesus for cleansing. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 4, we just read it. Now I just want to give a quick description of leprosy. Okay, leprosy. Leprosy in Israel during that time is one of the most devastating diseases to the nation. Okay, when an individual has been declared leprous, what happens to the individual? Let me just explain what leprosy is. Okay, some of its repercussions. And how does that apply to us today? Okay? And then, how do we come to Jesus for cleansing based on this passage? In the thinking of the Jewish rabbis, there is no cure for leprosy. No cure for leprosy. To them, it's interesting, leprosy is living death. Not just living death, but in the Jewish teacher's thinking, it's also moral death. It means that this person has sinned, that's why he has that on him. Okay? Leprosy to the rabbis is called the father of defilements, one of the fathers of defilements. That means for the Jew, they cannot touch a dead body. When they touch a dead body, they cannot go into the temple. They've been polluted, they've been defiled. Okay? The rabbis, after they have declared that these people are lepers, as I was reading and doing some study, the rabbis can be very cruel to people with leprosy. Okay? Their clothing will usually be torn, their hair will be all over the place, and usually they have to wear a veil over their mouth. And they, I think you all know, as they walk around, they must shout, unclean, unclean. As they shout, the purpose of shouting unclean, kind of like our dengue today, you know, like infection and all that, like SARS and all that. You have to actually have warning, okay? So the way they warn is unclean, they shout unclean. The purpose is not only to warn the people not to come near, but also so that the people will avoid them. Okay? When they shout unclean, it's not just to say, don't come near to me, you know? That will be good intention, right? But also so that that person will choose to avoid them altogether. When a leper enters a room, you can find it in Leviticus chapter 14. When someone with leprosy comes into the room, the floor to the ceiling is considered defiled. Okay? Considered infected. The priest had to come, the high priest, the priest in Jerusalem had to come to declare that place safe. Okay? Then there must be a minimum of 2 meters separation between the leper and individual as they pass by. That's why they shout unclean, so stay away. I was just reading this. When the wind is blowing, let's say I'm a leper and the wind is blowing this way, okay? 30 meters from me is all considered defiled. When the wind is blowing. And the rabbis put all these kind of rules, which is very unkind, the lepers. Apparently some of them do attend synagogues. I was finding out in the Bible dictionary, they will be compartmentalized, they will be quarantined in certain place of synagogue. The people are told by the rabbis never to salute the lepers. In other words, don't say hi to them. Why? Because to them, leprosy is considered chastisement and punishment for sin. Just as, I think most of you have read in the Bible, when a woman in the Old Testament is childless, now they cannot give birth, to them it's considered a curse. Okay? Leprosy is the same curse. And when God punished them, it is never out of God's love, but out of justice. That is the thinking of the Jewish religious leaders. Okay? Alright? Jewish religious leaders. So leprosy, to the rabbi, they are not to be pitied. Why? Because it's actually a curse. And sometimes they will be asked to leave, if the leprosy is bad, they will be asked to leave the cities. And if they don't, it will be enforced with whipping. You better leave, otherwise we'll whip you. So that was how the rabbis in the Jewish culture treated people with leprosy. How do you think a leper will feel if you live in this kind of situation? How do you think you'll feel? Is there anyone? How do you think a leper will feel? The rabbi said, don't salute you. You come in, everyone will walk away from you. By the way, many of these will live in leper colonies, away from their families, away from social relationships, basically away from all kinds of support. They are only supposed to live among their own kind, lepers. How do you think they will feel? Being on this side? They'll feel they are outcasts. Okay, what else? How do you think they will feel? Rejected? Okay, they feel rejected. What else? They feel maybe they condemn themselves. Okay. How about this side? How do you think they will feel? Society doesn't want to accept them, and what else? They feel isolated. Why? It's only among their own kind. What else? They feel hopeless. Anyone else? Anyone? I think generally you get the idea. And it's really sad for these people. They will feel sad. They feel ostracized, rejected, hopeless. Sometimes they may be angry at society. Frustrated. Why do I have this? And sometimes, many times they ask, why? May I say this? May we live in our families, our lives, sometimes our present time, bitterness, sadness, rejection is there because usually there's something missing, isn't there? Think about that for a while, okay? Something is not there. Like this leper, there is a need. He feels frustrated. Yeah, of course, his leprosy, he knows that, but he feels frustrated. He feels ostracized. He feels isolated. Many of them, many times, resigned to the fact that this is my life. There's nothing else I can do. God has cursed me. It's probably because of my sin or my son's sin or my forefather's sin or whatever. Okay, they feel rejected. So there's a need. But what is the need of this leper, therefore? He who is frustrated, he who is angry, he who is rejected by society. What does he need? What does society need? Does he need society to change? You know, there's this thing, society needs to change their mindset against this kind of people. Right? So we try to include them. What is the need of the leper? Does he need to form a club to speak against the people who oppose lepers? Who say, how dare the rabbis ask people to not salute me and form a club? After that, we will go against this society. What does a leper need? A leper need to be healed. Yes. In the deepest need of a leper, he needs to be healed. He don't need to form a club to fight out against all these people who go against him. He doesn't need to fight people. He just needs to be healed. The word need. Like this leper, question is, do we have a need today? What defines a need, right? The word need has the idea of being pressed. Something that is lacking. Something that needs to be filled. Kind of like a glass. You have a glass. If the glass is just like this, you need to fill it. Okay? Like the leper whose glass is not filled, he needs something to be filled. Otherwise, he won't be able to drink. A need is, without it, there's always emptiness. This man has a need. this particular leper. It is so great, the need, that is affecting his entire life, his future, his dreams, his family, his relationships. Society could not help him. His religion does not help him. His family has abandoned him. His resources are gone from him. Why does God do that to us sometimes? Why does God, so-called, some people will blame, why does God do that to us sometimes? Anyone want to venture an answer? Why does God do that? Isn't it sad when you see a child born deformed? How many of you feel pity for the boy whose two eyes was taken out? Huh? Why? The boy was just playing, come on. Why does God do that? You know, this is one of the questions of life, and sometimes even as Christians, why? You know why? Why does God do that to us sometimes? I'll give you an answer from the Bible, so that we will feel our need of Him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 119 verse 75, you can read in the verses that I've put in, you can. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. That means the psalmist David says, God, I know whatever decisions you make for me in my life is right. So even if I have leprosy, I know it's right. Brother Johnny, that's not possible. That's what the Bible says. The psalmist, I know thy judgments are right. And listen to the next part of the verse. And thou, in faithfulness, has afflicted me. In other words, the psalmist starts from a position of trusting God. God, I know whatever you do is right. But God, even when I'm going through this, I know you are afflicting me in your faithfulness. Just as a father who will whip the son because of sin. And hopefully the son understands that the father spanks the child because he loves the son. And so when the affliction comes, the psalmist David says, God, I know you always make the right decision. I know it's tough for me now, but God, I know it is in faithfulness that you have afflicted me. I'm not going to say today that after this message, if you accept God that, or you accept God's will, that your situation will be changed, okay? Or the things that you want will be given to you. But I will say this. God can change your situation if He chooses so. Amen? If God chooses to change your situation, He can. But I believe with all my heart, God is more interested in changing you than your situation. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? God, just change everything, change my employer, change everything. God says, no, I'm not interested in that. Genuine Christianity is God changing us so that we can influence people. God can change situations. The Bible, I just read at a few verses. In Psalm 119, verse 67, let me read, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. For some of us, God has to keep a continuous thing on our life so that we'll come back to Him. Kind of like, I don't know whether this is a good example, but I hope it's not. But then God just have to put something to really put us back, because He knows that if He let us go, we just run wild. So God has to put something. One example in the Bible is Apostle Paul. Did you know Apostle Paul? Great apostle, healed a lot of people. Do you know that when people walk past their shadows, people can get healed? That was how powerful the Apostle Paul was. But what did God say, or what did Paul say that God put in his life? He put a thorn in the flesh, yes? What was the purpose? Can anyone tell me? What was the purpose that God put a thorn in Apostle Paul's flesh? And God says, I'm not going to remove that from you. What's the purpose? Anyone? So that for him to always look to God. Because God knew in Apostle Paul's life, if I don't do that, Paul, you'll get proud. And that's where Paul says, look, now I understand why my problem is with me. Because God wants me, number one, to keep me humble, but number two, so that He will know my grace is sufficient for you. You don't need You don't need to change your situation. You need me. Christians, you know why? If you can see the situation change, you will just venture and do your own thing. God, I want to change you. That's what God says. God wants us to be clean today. In Psalm 119, verse 7, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Johnny, that's not my cup of tea. But that's the Bible. God wants us to be afflicted sometimes, not because He enjoys it. No parent enjoys spanking their children. Children, I hope you understand this. No father, no mother say, come, I'm going to spank you now. No father, mother will do that. Why? Because it's painful, right? But why do we still have to do it? Because we want them to change. That's what God, our Heavenly Father, has in mind. So what can we learn from this leper? How do we come to Jesus to meet that need in our life? I want you to notice five things. Number one, let's look at Matthew chapter 8, in verse 1 and 2. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. I want us to see here, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, Jesus have just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Yes? It is possible that this leper was just standing at the side listening. Because that's what the Bible says. As he came down from the mountain, many people followed, and also this leper also came. All right? And there came a leper unto him. Number one, when we remember what society thinks of leprosy, you understand the point. Number one, how do we come to Jesus for cleansing? Number one, we need to come boldly to Christ. Come boldly to Jesus Christ. The rabbis say, stay away. You are not supposed to come into society. This man says, I'm coming anyway. Because of Jesus. The rabbis and the people may shun away from you. The people may say, I don't want to hang around this leper, this kind of people. The people may say that you will infect me and therefore... But you know, as Christians, if we have problems in our hearts, a deep need, we need to come to Jesus boldly anyway. Brother Johnny, this sin is so shameful. Come to Christ anyway. We need to be bold. Alright? The first one, come boldly to Christ. The leper came boldly to Christ despite society's restrictions. Meaning despite what people will think. Brother Johnny, my sin is so sinful. Come to Christ anyway. Alright? As a leper, his deep need is to be healed. But you know what? If you think, oh, I don't want to lose face. You know what? Your face is more important than your healing. Yes? You know, it's very hard to say we're wrong. But we need to come boldly to Christ despite society's reach. Number two, we need to come boldly to Christ despite our self-condition. Some people, when they come to Christ, I don't believe Jesus will forgive me. There is no sin our Savior cannot forgive. Amen. There's no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. None. Only one when you reject Him. He can't forgive. There's no sin that you ever committed. You know, guys, you may see things, do things that people don't know. And you feel guilty and condemned by that. You know, many Christians, unfortunately, because they're so sensitive to God, and they want to move on, but sin condemns them. You know what? You need to come to Jesus anyway. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, it's not here. When our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And He knows all things. You know, someone can come to me and say, Johnny, your son did this and your son did that. You know, you should punish your son, all that kind of thing. But you know what I would say? Yeah, I know my son is like that. I love him anyway. It's the same thing with God, you know. God says, Satan is accuser of the brethren. He will accuse us before God. You know what Jesus says? Yeah, Satan, I know he's like that. I love him anyway. What's your problem? That's how God, because, right, God is love. His love is unchanging. I say again, God's love is unchanging. And therefore, when you come to God, you can be assured His love will always stay the same. Nothing changes God's love. That's why we have to come boldly to Christ despite what society says, despite what it could be the grossest sin that ever committed by man. I can't think of any now. But maybe to you, I should have done that. How many of you have that? Don't have to put up your hand. How many of you can say in your heart right now, there are certain things, if I tell people I did before, they will jaw drop. All of us probably have certain things hidden in our lives that
done that. But even Christ can forgive that. We need to come despite our condition. Sometimes we know our condition. Sometimes we feel so condemned. We feel that we are unworthy. But Christ still invites us to come. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. This verse is for Christians. This message is for us as Christians. Come boldly. There's another verse which is very interesting. Luke 18 verse 38. This is blind Bartimaeus. He is blind. But when he heard that Jesus was walking past, notice what he did. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. He is blind. Verse 39. You know what the Bible says? Then they which went before rebuked him. Shush. Messiah said, shush. You're not supposed to say anything. Shush. You know? But you know what blind Bartimaeus? If that's the Messiah, then I need him even more. Amen? Because he can heal me. And the Bible says, and they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much more, O Son of David, have mercy on me. When you come boldly to Jesus, point number three, the leper came boldly to Christ because he knew who he was. Because you know what the leper called him? Lord. L-O-R-D. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord. The word Lord there means, Greek word kurios, meaning one of supreme authority, one of supreme power. When the leper looked at the Lord Jesus, it wasn't just Lord. Remember, the leper is coming with an entire need, his life's need. Said, Lord. We need to come boldly to Christ. We need to recognize who he is. Number one, we need to come boldly to Jesus. Number two, we need to come humbly to Jesus. As much as we are bold, we need to come humbly. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. The word worship is interesting. Today, I know many churches, we practice praise and worship. It's like, have you seen that before? I've done that before. When I was in the charismatic movement. And to them, that's worship. You know what worship is to the Jews? Worship is they will always bring a sacrifice to the temple. And they will sweep the floor. Because thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Worship is an active, not just... It's not worship. Yes, it involves praise, it involves singing. But worship to the Jews is a practical thing. But the word worship here is interesting because it has the idea of a dog kissing the master's hand. In other words, when the leper came to Jesus, he came boldly. But you know what? The leper realized who he is in front of God. And he prostrated himself and kissed the master's hand. It has the idea of complete submission, humility, and surrender. You know why? As a leper, he came to Jesus. Did he have money to pay? Did he have money to pay Jesus? Did he have any time to give Jesus? Did he have any resources that he can... Can he serve Jesus? He can't. He's not even included in society. He has nothing to give, to show. He only has his leprosy. We need to come humbly to Jesus because he worshipped. And you know what he said? Lord, if thou wilt. After we talk about that, but when we worship, when we come to Christ, we need to come humbly. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7. I want to give you sometimes typical Singaporean Christian behavior, okay? Isaiah chapter 7 verse 10. This is when we know we have a need. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 to 13, let me just read. Moreover, the Lord, in the Old Testament, okay, in the Old Testament. Is it in there? Okay, so there. So in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, which is King Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask if either in the depth or in the height above. In other words, God says to Isaiah, go and tell King Ahaz, I want him to ask me a sign. I want to give him a sign. You know what Ahaz says? I will not ask. Neither will I test the Lord. It sounds like very humble, right? I'm going to ask God. You know, God got angry at him. Because God asked you to ask me. When God tells us to ask, it's not time to reject. When God asks us to pray, say, no, I'm not going to ask God that. This is not God's will. When you see in the Bible, God says, pray, ask, God means to pray and ask. Okay? So what did God do to this King Ahaz? So after King Ahaz says in verse 12, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Verse 13, and he said, hear ye now, house of David, is this a small thing for you to weary, man? And will ye weary my God also? You know what that means? Are you going to make me fed up with you? I ask you to ask. Simple obedience. Ask of me. You know what Singaporeans sometimes will do? Yeah, I got problems, but you know, I don't want to trouble people. Yes? Many, many years ago, there was one, it was a very sad situation, but many, many years ago, there was one church member. I hope this will never happen in Ambassador. There was one church member who wasn't around during Christmas time. And we're just wondering, but we know it went on, and there was nothing hurt. The husband was in hospital ICU for a few days. Church member. When we found out, say, please, when you're in that situation, someone else can take the program. We need to minister to someone in need. You know what's her reason? I don't want to trouble the church. Oh, Christians, can we have this thinking that as a church, God's people, our heart needs to be open to each other. That we will never have the thinking, I don't know, as a church. It could be, I'm hoping that none of our behaviors will show people at the church won't care one. Yeah, they won't care one. We need to be open-hearted that people, when they need, we will go. Okay? But you know, in this situation, this is a Singaporean table. You know what? When we say, I don't need any help, that's not humility. False pride. I'll handle it myself. Right? Many times, many people, because of pride, they do not want to come to Jesus because only Jesus can help them. God will not allow any pride in His presence. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When you come to God with a humble heart, it's interesting. Do you realize there's only two places in this universe that God lives in? You know where are the two places? Okay, where does God where does God stay now? Where's God now? In heaven, right? Do you know what's the second place that God stays in? On earth? Okay, anyone else? In your? Okay, where's your Bible? Okay, let's turn to Isaiah 57. Okay, I teach you, God has a permanent home in heaven, and He also has, what do you call that, resort home? No, not resort home. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Oh, I love this passage. Oh, Christian, understand this. Let's read together. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Ready? 1, 2, Isaiah 57, verse 15. Ready? 1, 2, go. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. According to this passage, God lives in heaven and with someone whose heart is so humble and broken that God stays, I'll stay in that house. You see, God doesn't need fancy furniture. God doesn't need our pride. He just wants a humble heart and say, I. And that will say, God, I need you. And God say, I'll come in if you say I need you. But we need to come humbly to Christ. And God says, I will resist those who are proud, but I'll give grace to the humble. God will not allow pride in His presence. Point number three. Firstly, we need to come boldly to Christ. Number two, we need to come humbly to Christ. And number three, we need to come believing in Jesus. We need to come believing in Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Think about that. The leper came to Jesus. If you are willing, you can heal me. This was not a, doctor, can you hear me? Can you heal me or not? No, this leper is coming on. If you are willing, you can heal me. This was an intercession of faith, because it is probable that this leper has seen the works of Christ. He has heard his teachings, not mentioned in the Bible, but he may know in his heart that this is the Messiah. But many of the Jewish people who got healed often called the Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what Son of David means? The word Son of David is a reference to the Old Testament of the coming Messiah. So when they say Son of David, they had faith. And so when it, Lord, Kurios, Lord, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. This was an intercession of faith. In his heart, he may know that he's the Messiah. The rabbis believe there is no cure for leprosy. That's society's view. The society's view is that there's no help but misery for the leper. Christians, are you locked on to the fact that there is no help and the only way you will go is the way the world says? Is it true that sometimes Christians are so locked on no choice, Lord? You always say no choice, Lord. So and so says so no choice, Lord. What is the deepest need? What is the deepest need? Do we often use the word, I have no choice? But no, we need to come still by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, you know, when the Bible says, that came the leper and worshipped him, saying. You know what's the word saying? Literally, to systematically lay your case before God. The word saying means systematically lay a case. As you come, you need to be clear about what you need, not what you want. Oh God, you know, Chinese New Year coming. And the 4D is 10 million. Toto, sorry, it's not 4D. God, I'm coming, as pastor say, boldly to you. I'm coming humbly. I'm coming believing. Lord, help me to touch. That is not. What do you need? You know what? Many times God will say, sorry, you miss. But you know why? Sometimes we think, because we are looking at the externals. Yes? I got not enough, so I go and pay. I think it was Brother Robert or someone who shared with me one time that he was in NTUC, and then after that he saw another church member, not here, another church that he attended previously, and the church member was in the queue in NTUC for the Toto one. And then after, what are you doing here? And then after, no more, gone. Christians, God doesn't want to change our situation. He wants to change us. We need to come believing in Jesus. What do you need? What do you need? Look at Luke chapter 18, verse 40. What do you need? Luke 18, 40 to 42. Let me just read. It's interesting because Jesus actually did something very interesting here. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, because this particular person said, Lord, have mercy on me, you know. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Saying, what would thou that I shall do unto thee? When the person came to Jesus, or brought to Jesus, said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus says, come on, he's blind, you know. You're the healer, you should be. But Jesus says, no, what do you want me to do for you? Is Jesus asking us this question today? What do you want him? As you listen to this message, you reflect, Lord, maybe the Lord is just asking from heaven, based on the verse, what do you want me to do for you today? And I say this, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's fine. For me, I find it very hard also to reflect, Lord, what do I really need from you? Yeah, there are many conflicting voices, confusion, but what God, what do you need? You know, we need to be clear what we need. This blind man was very clear, Lord, I want my sight back. Christians, I think many of us need to ask God, God, I want my spiritual sight back. I'm so blinded by the things of this world. I'm so blinded by my pursuits. I'm so blinded by all the things that are happening around me. God, I need my sight back. But do you know that Jesus can open your eyes if you just stay with his word? Because thy word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Christ will instruct us. Come believing in Jesus. He is able to show you exactly what you need. But you need to be clear as well. That when he shows us, we will follow him. Okay, point number four, we need to come expectantly to Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, come see thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest,
offer the gift that Jesus commanded for a testimony unto them. Come expectantly to Jesus. Number one, just now we came believing to Christ, right? Say, Lord, if thou be willing, thou can make me clean. Okay? So he came with an expectation. But you know what? The next point, come expectantly to Jesus, means this. Expect him to do the unthinkable. Expect Christ to do something that you will never think he will do. You know why I say that? It's unthinkable for a Jewish religious priest to touch a leper. That made the rabbi unclean. It is against society, is against what the rabbis taught. The entire trend of Jewish teaching say, you are not to touch a leper. Jesus did. The Bible says, Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. Just like Jesus would touch the coffin of the widow of Nain, it is unthinkable for Jesus to touch a coffin because a coffin makes the person unclean. Okay? But it's interesting because in FBI we learn, I'm learning as well. You know what? When Jesus touched the coffin is a place of death, right? But Jesus is the Prince of Life. So when Jesus touched the coffin, guess what? The coffin doesn't defile Christ. Christ makes the coffin pure. And the widow of Nain's son who was dead rose from the dead. Expect Christ to do something that you will never expect. Don't limit God to our 3.5 kilograms. That's the weight of your brain. That's the weight of your brain. You know, when we get into trouble, when we think, we always think of what to do, right? God says, please, I got more plans than your 3.5 kilograms can take. But you need to come expecting him to do the unthinkable. Yesterday, as I was listening to the preacher, the youth, he was describing the Red Sea account. The children of Israel was at the Red Sea. The Red Sea was in front of them, mountains on both sides, the chariots of Pharaoh were advancing. They are stuck. No solution. No solution at all. What would you have done? What would you have done? If you, Brother Alex, if you were Israel, Red Sea here, both mountains here, Pharaoh come here, you are stuck. What would you have done? Swim. Now you can swim for 24 kilometers. Maybe you can, you're a trainer. But when you swim, it's a long way. You know what? You know the encouragement? You know, as a preacher was preaching, I was just writing my own notes, I was listening. Sometimes as Christians, we feel boxed in by our situation, do we not? We feel trapped. See in front, mountains on both sides, advancing army. And by the way, these are just situations. Advancing army is Satan and his host wanting to crush us. And sometimes as Christians, you know what Satan wants most of all for Christian? Crush your faith. And that was exactly what happened. You know what the people of Israel said? Moses, you brought us out here to kill us only, right? No graves in Egypt. Why you bring us out here to kill us, huh? Some of us, maybe we feel so boxed in by all the situations. But you know what? You know what the encouragement is? The only thing that came to my mind, I was reflecting on that. The solution is always in God. Okay? Front block, left block, right block, back block, upstairs, not block. How many of us will actually take time to pray over our situation? Sometimes we need to just lift up our head. You know what Moses says? Stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord. You know the encouraging thing? Moses says, today, you who distrust God, you are never going to see the Egyptian army anymore forever. And true to God's word, when the Red Sea opened, the Egyptian army went in, Pharaoh and all his chariots were destroyed. Do you realize when God brought the Egyptian army out of the nation of Egypt into the promised land? Do you know what God did to the nation of Egypt? He destroyed the entire economy. He destroyed the entire military might of the most powerful nation on planet Earth. Why? To save his children. Why can't we as Christians trust our Heavenly Father? Amen? Why can't we trust him? May I speak for God? Why can't we trust God enough to say, God, you've opened the Red Sea, the second greatest miracle in the Bible, the greatest is the resurrection of Christ. Why can't we trust God? Asira, Singapore Power sent the red bill already. Oh no, my rental is up already. Why can't we trust God? Don't you think His plan is bigger than ours? Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens is as high on the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You know what God is telling us? Come. Do you realize for Christians that God always wants us to come to Him? Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come expectantly to Jesus. Number two, come in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let me just read in that. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know what Paul is saying? Exceedingly, abundantly, above, Ephesians 3:20, all that we ask or think. You know what that is? Triple layer protection. Not just exceeding, not just abundant, but above everything that we ever think. You know, God can do fantastic things. Our church van, I always use that. I will never, you know, probably we only have a handful of people and we need a church van. And we're thankful for God's people who gave. You know, for a small church, less than 10 members, God raised $41,800. Wrong, $42,500 in 6 weeks. I told God, God, we don't need the van, but it will be a good to have. Really, even without the van, we can still go tracting, amen? Anyone not the head? Right? Even without tracting, we can still minister, right? Our transport system quite good, right? With MRT? I thank God, it's a good to have. God says, and thank God, God touched God's people. Within 6 weeks to eight weeks, I think, we raised $42,500. And the person that sold me the van wasn't very happy. Because we pay cash, everything. He cannot earn from our installment. Some of you are here because of what God has done in your life. Amen. Come expectantly to Jesus. Number two, expect Him to answer your request. How many of you pray but don't expect God to answer your request? How many of you remember what you prayed for? Sometimes we forget. Pray expecting God to answer. God has three answers. Number one, God answered immediately. As in this person, Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. Immediately He answered. You know, sometimes God will delay the response. You know, if God delayed the answer, it may be that God says, yes, but not now. Yes, but not now. And number three, sometimes God will say no. You want me to heal you? No. Paul, remember? God says no. Christians, are we willing? You know, do you know why coming to Jesus humbly is an important principle? What if God says no to your request? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you say? Or will you say, yes, Lord? Will we cry and complain just because God says no? Children, do you grab and complain because daddy says, sorry, no ice cream today? I want ice cream. Oh, daddy says, no, miss, no. Sorry, you got cough. You want to get worse? Okay, lah. Go and pick up a tissue. You're going to pick up yourself. Will we go down? Do we? We need to submit to Christ. We need to submit to the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. God actually will answer our prayer. But we need to be ready. You know why? There's this thinking in Christianity. Whatever God asks, He will give. It's not true. Fathers, will you give to your children everything they ask you? Will you give? Let's say, we had one family who visited us, and this girl actually ventured into our toilet and played with the razor blade. And so when he came out, she wasn't crying, interestingly, but his hand was all bleeding. He said, what happened? I found out she was playing with razor blade inside. My shaver. I'm the only one who shaves. How many fathers will give your 2-year-old, 3-year-old razor blade to play? No. Why does God say no to us? Listen, Christians, God says no because He says it's not good for you. Simple, right? You know what, Christian? I want means I want means I want. God says no, 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 no. In the end, He is bigger than you anyway. And you know what? Can you see why God wants to change us? God wants to change us. There was an alcoholic. I want to highlight. Expect Christ to answer your prayer. There was an alcoholic who became a believer. And he was asked, How could you possibly believe the nonsense in the Bible about miracles? You don't believe that Jesus changed water into wine, do you? He said, I sure do. You know, he was an alcoholic before. This nonsense about Jesus changing water into wine, you don't believe? I do. You know? Why? Why do you believe that? Because in our house, Jesus changed my whiskey into furniture for my family. Do you understand? Jesus changed my beer. That the money that I spent for whiskey and beer, he changed it into furniture for my family. He changed it into food so my children will eat. He changed it so that my employer will trust me more. God still does miracles. But you know what? Sometimes it's not the miracles we want to see. God is looking at miracles in your heart. God is looking at miracles in your heart. Many of us continue in our condition not because God cannot change our situation, but because we do not come boldly, we do not come humbly, we do not come believing, expecting God to do something. You know what you need? The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you believe Jesus can change not your situation, you? God, just change my situation, don't touch me. No, God says, I want you. Just as a father and a mother says, I don't care what the school teach, you have to study hard. Yes? You have to study hard. And I know last time in 1980s, 1970s, when the children come back fail, we will cane the children. Yes? But now, children fail, we will cane the teacher. Right? And it has translated into the church. God changed my situation, don't change me. No, God says, I'm still interested in the old-fashioned 1970 cane the student. God wants to change us. Amen. You know why? Because God wants us to make us better people so that we can more and more like Christ, so that we can influence the situation. We can influence the situation. We need to come by faith. And finally, it's very important, we need to come gratefully to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 4. Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, this is a strange request. Because after the leper was healed, Jesus says, don't go and tell anyone, go straight to the priest. Matthew was a book written to the Jews. Okay? There was a ceremony of purification. Because these people has been declared a leper, they are supposed to live with only the leper colony. If they happen to be cured, which in the time that Moses wrote until this time, no one has been cured of leprosy. Okay? Because there's no cure. Even in the Levitical rabbis, in the rabbinic writings, they have what to do when you heal from a disease. They have the steps. You know, in leprosy, they don't have, because they believe it can never be cured. Only by God. That is an important thing. Okay? And so, Jesus says, don't go to anyone, go to the priest. Go and show him yourself, present yourself. And also offer the gift that Moses commanded. 2 points here, we need to be obedient to Christ. Sorry, the last one is come gratefully to Jesus. That's the last one. Come gratefully to Jesus. We need to be obedient to the word. Because immediately after the leper was healed, Jesus says, I want you to go and offer the gift that Moses commanded. Go and do what the Bible tells you to do. Go to the priest, okay? The ceremony prescribed for the purifications of person cure of leprosy is based on this idea that the person, because of sin, has died a living death. Leprosy is a curse. When the person is healed, you can find this from Leviticus chapter 14. When the person is healed, the person will want to be readmitted into society, okay? This is what they have to do. The person will come to the priest, and this ceremony will usually take place outside of the society, outside the walls of Jerusalem, okay? The priest will then take 2 birds, okay? 2 clean and living birds. Birds must be living. And he will bring some wood. One of the birds will be killed over running water. You know, as he kills the bird, so that the blood will mix with the running water. And the water is usually from a stream, in such a way that the blood would flow into the water, okay? What happened then, the priest would then take a hyssop or kind of like a brush, dip it in water and the blood, and sprinkle it on the clean bird. Okay? The water and the blood signifies life. The clean bird, okay, the clean bird signifies the leper that's going to be free. And after it's sprinkled on the bird, the priest lets the bird go, signifying that this leper has come out from death, free to live. That's the picture of leprosy. Do you know why this instruction is so important? Because the priest has never practiced this since the time Moses gave instruction, because no one has ever been healed of leprosy. And so, for 1500 years, this will be the very first time someone is coming, "Hey, I had leprosy, now I'm okay." Huh? It's like a doctor who has never seen a strange syndrome before. "I don't know what to do." And so he has a scramble. It's seen in the history of Israel, no Israelite priest has ever performed the Levitical rite for someone who has been cleansed for leprosy. As the man goes to the priest, can you imagine what the priest is thinking? He will say, "I have never done this before, but who healed you? Who healed you? This has never happened in Israel before. Who healed you?" What did the man say? "Oh no, little bird, come, I just touched the bird, I'm fine." Is it? "Oh no lah, it was someone who cared for me." Who do you think this person would say? Who healed you? What do you think the man would say? Jesus. How many of you here have life stories that you can tell of the goodness of God in your life? Put up your hand. Question for you. Are you still telling it? Are you still telling it? Still telling it? Are you still telling these stories of God's goodness? This particular leper was told to go to the priest. You know why? For a testimony unto them that Jesus is the Messiah. Christians, do people see Christ in you to the point that they know, hey, there's something in you that I want? You know why they are saying you need to come gratefully to Jesus? Let's turn to Luke 17, verse 12, and then we'll finish. Why do we come gratefully to Jesus? Let me just read this. Also, another group of lepers, okay? Lepers. In Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to 19, I'll read the whole passage. Let's just make one point after that. And as he entered into the southern village, Jesus entered in the southern village, they met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. When Jesus went to this village, there were 10 lepers. The word afar off means at least 100 meters away, okay? At least 100 meters away. The word afar off has the idea about 100 meters away. And then when they lifted up their voices, means they really shouted, okay? And some of these lepers don't really have voices. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us!" When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Notice the obedience, they were cleansed. But you know the significance? And one of them turned back. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. One loud voice literally shouted. Have you ever, "Oh God, thank you," and you shout and scream and just thank God, glorify God. And fell down on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where were the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." How many of you, when God has done something good for you, that you would stop and say, "Thank God, I'm going to turn around, go to God and say, 'God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to be grateful to you. I'm going to do all my life. I'm going to live my life for you, Lord.'" How many of you, when God has done that for your salvation, when God has done good things for us, your life changed around and said, "God, my life is yours now." How many Christians are going through that? I can tell you today in modern-day Christianity, many people, God is still blessing. God is still touching. Not many people are coming back. Jesus was astonished. "I thought there were 10 of you were healed. How come only one come back?" A few lessons. One, Jesus will heal whoever comes to him. We talk about spiritual healing. If you come to Christ, you meet your need. Amen? With a whole heart. But you know what? After that, when Jesus meets your need, then what do you do? No, I share again. I think in the Philippines, when someone gets a job,
first paycheck goes to the church as a sign of God's, as a thanksgiving. Christians? You know what? I thought there were 10. How come there were 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God except a stranger. And he said, Jesus said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The last phrase is a very important phrase. When I come to Christ, he healed me. I turn, I go away rejoicing. Huh? But if I don't come back, I don't receive the second thing that Jesus mentioned. What was the second thing? Arise. If I come back with grateful hearts and give God the glory, God, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to do things for you because of what you've done for me, God, you have fulfilled my total need. And Jesus says, arise, go thy way. Your faith has made thee whole. 9 of the people healed did not receive the second blessing from God. You want to use it as a second blessing? They were more concerned for themselves. Think about that for a while. Many Christians receive from God. You know why there are many non-believers are still non-believers? Is it possible that 10 got saved, only 1 come back to give glory to God? The other 9 just went on their merry way, healed. Healed. Because Jesus healed. But they didn't come gratefully to Christ. Christians has a complete picture of healing. I don't know about healing, it's not in the terms of the physical healing. But it could be anything. Is there a need in your life that you know that God, there's something that is disrupting my life, my family, my thinking, my everything. I don't want it there, but it's just that I'm stuck. You know what? You need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ. As we close, Jesus can still help you where you need. Are we willing to come? If you're not a Christian today, Christ did not come to set up a religion. He condemned religion. You know why I say that? Because religion serves for us to do and work our way to heaven. When God says all men are sinners, you cannot work your way to heaven. You need Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're not a Christian, your deepest need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Confessing your sin, telling God, God, now I realize I'm a fool, I'm a sinner. I need you. Thank you for your grace. I accept you. Christians, if you have been healed, can I challenge you to be like the Samaritan who turned back, gave God the glory, and then God said, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. That was an assurance to the guy. He's done the right thing. Christians, don't be like the 9 who, when God blesses you, walk away and just do what you want. Just bow for our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I do not know what the direction of this message will take. But I do know, Lord, that you have something for the people today. Lord, I'm asking you, help us to come boldly to you. Help us to come humbly to you. Help us to come believing in you. Help us to come expecting, Lord, you to answer our prayer. But Lord, you know, after all that you've done, help us to come gratefully to you. That God, there will be the closing of that blessing. Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will teach us. Oh Lord, I sincerely know that there are needs, Lord. That sometimes we ourselves don't even know what that need is. If your eyes closed, heads bowed, please, no one looking around. Just want to ask, what is your need? What is your need? Do you know what is your need? Is it that extra cash? Is it that? I honestly believe it's not so. Is God speaking to us in some areas? Say, Lord, I need you. I don't know where, but I need you. Because my life is a mess. Or rather, I see that things are not in place. God, I need you. Is there anyone say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. God will help me to pinpoint that need. So that as I come to Christ, amen, I see that hand. Put up and put it down. Pray in your hearts and ask God to make it clear, Lord, what is that area? Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that need. I see that hand too. Put it up, put it down. Amen, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Just put up your hand and put it down, but in your heart say, Lord, perhaps I'm like the leper that's coming on. I've heard your teachings, I've seen your miracles, I've seen people's lives change, but God, my life is still the same. Lord, help me as I come boldly to you. Is there anyone else? If you are here today, the second question, if you are here today, you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Your greatest need, I can tell you from the Bible, is your need to know Jesus as your Savior. He didn't come to set up religion. He came to save sinners from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Would anyone say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I want to find out more about this Savior. Is there anyone? You say, Brother Johnny, we're not forcing you to join the church. We're not wanting your money. We just want to show you. Is there anyone like that? You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me there. I will find out more about this salvation. Is there anyone? Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone right now who has put up their hand. Lord, I thank you that you are speaking. That even as this leper came boldly to Christ, and God, he had such a submissive heart. If thou be willing, you can make me clean. And I believe, Lord, this is a prayer of everyone who has put up their hand. Lord, I do not know what the need is in every one of our lives and the people that put up their hand, but I do know this, Lord. It is your will to change us, not our situation. But I know sometimes you can change a situation, but many times, not until you have changed us. Father, I want to thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of these brethren and sisters and brothers who have put up their hands. Lord, I pray that they will find Christ to be the one who is leading them in this decision they're going to make. I pray, Lord, if it's just, Lord, I'm going to just come back and thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray they will come gratefully. Lord, speak to us. Even as we sing this closing hymn, I pray that thy Holy Spirit, as we sing this closing hymn, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. That even as we leave this place, the message in the Holy Spirit, Lord, is still going with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to Christ. There is no problem in this world you cannot fix. There's no sin in this world you cannot forgive. And there's no power in this world that's so strong that you cannot overcome. There's no habit, Lord, in our lives that is so strong that with your strength we cannot overcome. And so, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you like the leper did. Totally, Lord, acknowledging without you we can do nothing. Thank you for what you're going to do as we sing a closing hymn. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.